Somebody praise God.
Praise
somebody tell somebody else that God loves them so much that he died for them.
Yes.
Amen.
We all know that.
Okay, we know that. It's okay. Well, why don't we have a seat and we'll get started. You know, it's really awesome to realize that there are a few people left, like you guys, that believe that coming into Sabbath is a commandment by God. Not only is it a commandment, it's a day that we are called to let God minister to us. The understanding of His Spirit on this earth is so powerful. It's much more powerful than we realize that God is calling us to worship Him. He's calling us to lift Him up. He's called us, He's called you to be a minister of God, a priest of God, a holy priest, set apart, kadosh. Look at somebody and say, man, you look so kadosh, I just want to kiss you. So some of you are having a hard time with that. It's okay. We're set apart. Kadosh means set apart, and God's people are set apart. How many people do you know that at work and stuff, praise God on Saturday? Saturday. And we don't realize what the world is doing because they worship God on Sun God Worship Day. Sunday. Which Constantine was a keeper of Solus Invictus. Sol Invictus. And we need to realize that. But the Spirit of God is so powerful. That one song we sang, Baruch Et Adonai, what that really says is bless a word at Yahweh. And the actual Hebrew is Yahweh, but the et is Aleph Tav. Aleph Tav is what John wrote in the book of Revelation because John didn't speak Greek. He didn't say Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He said, my Lord, Messiah Yeshua, is the Alpha, or the Aleph and the Tav, which is over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. And every Jew that read the book of Revelation were like, whoa! How could that be? In the beginning, God created the Aleph Tav heaven and the Aleph Tav earth. Baruch Aleph Tav Yahweh is what that says. And our spirit is so strong that we need to call upon God, and God is going to build us together, because one person who has a strong spirit, when they come together, when they're two together, when they're three together, when they're five together, when there's 1,000 together, we have the authority of Messiah. Because you've been called to be kadosh. And we have, this week we're starting all over in Bereshit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Aleph Tav heaven and the Aleph Tav earth. The Messiah heaven and the Messiah earth. For God so loved His world. For God so loved His cosmos. He gave His Son for His cosmos. Cosmos means the restoration of all things. So next time you hear En Agora Da Vida, that's where we're going. Praise God. Oh, you guys didn't get it. So you got to be old to know that one. So next time you hear In the Garden of Eden, okay, God is restoring His people. Praise God. So during this past week, we had Shemini Atzeres, we had Simchat Torah, and Tuesday we had a real impromptu gift from God and a great time after we ate Chick-fil-A and it was the last day of our Sukkot, and it rained. It poured outside, but it poured in here, and the Holy Spirit was awesome. Everybody danced with the Torah scroll, and we talked about what the Word of God really is, what John was saying. The Dovereim is the Word, and the Word of God is wrapping around us, and we just had an awesome time in the Lord. But anyway, in that period, there was a half Torah, so I'm going to touch on this a little bit. Boy, I can't see this. Can we turn off some of the lights so I can see this? Oh, praise God. So the half Torah, which is a teaching of the prophets, read every Shabbat, on the last day of Sukkot was the Sabbath. And so this is basically Joshua. I noticed Lori has a Joshua shirt on. Joshua 1:9, be strong, courageous, and unafraid. Praise God. After the death of Moses, this is verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Joshua, and it says he was Moses' minister. Joshua's commission was the first of its kind, but not the last, because what we see is no man before Joshua received orders to regulate his conduct by the words of the written Torah. Abraham and his household kept God's laws. Moses had acted by a divine commission, but Abraham and Moses received their orders from the mouth of Yahweh. Okay, now we have all of Israel, and all of Israel was now being directed to follow the teachings of God, the teaching and instructions. What's another word for the teaching and instructions? So God gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. He gave it again at Acts 2, the same day, Shavuot, and we begin to see that God cares about his people so much that he gave us this law to protect us. And I hate to call it law because but it really is God's teaching and instruction. It's God's regulation to protect us. How many here realize that you're under the law? Okay, for those of you that think you're free, let me advise you that you live in America. We have a tyrant for a leader. We're told what to do. We have laws that protect you. You can't go out on the freeway and speed because God is protecting you. The Spirit of God is all over us. Our neighbor can't come into your house and say, I like your TV better than mine, so bam, bam, here's my gun, I'm taking it. We have laws that protect us because the law is good. The power of God's anointing, the Torah, keeps us in the Spirit of God. The Torah, Paul said, that Messiah, you know, if you got a regular Bible, a King James, Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law. So, oh my gosh, Christ is the end. What are we doing keeping the Torah? But if you actually see it in a Messianic Bible or you study the Greek, it says, Mashiach, telos, Torah. The word telos means the goal or end result. So now let's look at it the way God wrote it. Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the goal of the Torah. Wow, praise God. So how can we read the Torah and not know Messiah? It's because sometimes we don't read the Torah by the Spirit. We read the Torah by the brain. And if we come into the Word of God by the brain, you're going to go out of the Word of God by the brain, and it isn't pretty. God wants us to have an anointing of the Spirit. So when we read the Word of God, it explodes with the Spirit of Messiah. That deserves a hearty amen. So, amen. Praise God. Amen. Hearty, hearty. So, Joshua and all of his successors, since Moses, were to fulfill the orders of the book of the Torah. Joshua was a minister in more than one sense. He was Moses' confidential agent, his priest, his personal attendant while he lived, and afterwards the executor of what Moses had written. When Moses gave up everything to Joshua, God told him to encourage Joshua, to anoint Joshua, lay hands on Joshua, anoint him with oil, and then the rest of Israel would get up every day to see if Moses was still alive, because they couldn't cross the Jordan until Moses died. And like Matt was saying, they'd wake up every day and say, go look and see if Moses is still alive. But when Moses finally passed away, Joshua was now the full order, but he was a priest of Moses because God was preparing him. And let me tell you, I believe you're a priest. Every one of you here are priests. When you accept this job, and God says, it's like Mission Impossible. You know, I've got a special job for you. I've got a job for you that nobody else has. Your neighbors don't have it. The Sunday keepers don't have it. But you are set apart. You're set apart so I can teach you. You're set apart so I can anoint you. You're set apart so I can fill you with the words of God. And so he's made you a set apart, a separate anointed priest of God. Therefore, you are also a living stone, praise God, which Moses talks about in Devarim 32, the living stone. You're being built up to be a spiritual house. A house is a place for God, a house of prayer, a God's anointing, a bait understanding of God's anointing. You're a set-apart priesthood. You're a priesthood that's been set apart. You're not in the flow of life. You're in the flow of the Spirit. He's taken you and put you over here. He said, when you come together, I'll be with you. When you come together, learn to glean. Learn to forgive. Learn to love. Learn to be a spirit of God's anointed, because you've been called to be set apart kadosh, because you're a set apart priest. Look at somebody and say, man, you look like a set apart priest. You too, Sarah, you look like a set apart priest. So praise God. Amen. Which has been set up to offer spiritual offerings, slaughter offerings, acceptable to Elohim. Is your offering acceptable? I'm not talking about the money you want to put in. You know, that's just, you know, that's elementary. The acceptable offering is you. Did you get out of bed today and praise God and say, what can I do for you today? What does the kingdom have for me today? How are you going to use me today? Am I on fire for God today? Am I full of God's authority and love and forgiveness today? Who said that? Well, praise God. Bless your heart. You can be dismissed now. You don't need any more. So. Therefore, and I want to take you into something that's a little tough. Therefore, leaving. Now it's time to leave. Set apart the elementary teachings about Yeshua, Messiah Yeshua. But let us Let us continue to be, my eyes, carried along to maturity. Look at somebody and say, it's time we mature. Well, I know that's not a real popular thing because I didn't hear it very well. So anyway, so we leave the elementary teachings of Jesus Christ. Does anybody understand this? Yeah. We are called to mature. We are called not... How many times have you been saved? I mean, I went to church every Sunday as a kid. And I got saved every Sunday because I backslid every Saturday night. And sometimes by Wednesday night service, I'd have to get saved again. And for some reason, my salvation didn't stick. So I was saved, praise God, hallelujah. And sin says, hey, would you like to visit me? I go, well, heck yeah, I can hardly wait to visit sin. And God began to show me that there's a salvation that's real. The salvation I had was my repentant heart, which was just remorse. I felt bad that I had sinned and failed my family and failed God. And so when the guy said, would you like to be saved? I go, what? This is not salvation. This is salvation. When I finally gave my full heart, which was this morning, every day. And so let me go through some things. This may be a little difficult, but I'm going to ask you, don't get offended if you read the Word of God. Okay, verse 2. Number 1, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. What does that sound like to you? Salvation. Not laying again the salvation. You're saved, praise God, let's move on. You're saved, let's get out our diapers. You're saved, let's get off the milk. You're saved, let's get into maturity. You're saved, let's get into being the witness of God, because where you go, the presence of God goes. And so what should the presence of God have? The witness of God. Somebody say, I'm a witness of God because Jesus commanded it. Praise God. Should I crank it up a little bit? Are you guys awake? It's about time. That back row really makes me pray real hard for the back row. So, anyway. Okay, number 2, faith towards God. How many understand when you got saved, you had faith? You believed in God that you would have eternity. Do you know we don't understand eternity? Do you know we don't understand salvation? Do you know we don't comprehend so many things, but we walk by faith and we know we're going to have eternity, whatever that is. We're going to be in God's kingdom, whatever that is. Hallelujah. But the fact is, there's a job to be done before we go to the kingdom. And the book of Revelation is about the job that we need to do. Look at somebody and say, you need to get off your tailgate and be a worker for God. Get off your tailgate. The reason I ask you to do these things is because I believe every one of you should be prophesying by now. Every one of you should be getting excited about encouraging one another. This is church. Church is practice till you make perfect. And so it's better to witness in here than to go out there and feel like you're an idiot. In here, you can feel like an idiot and you're still loved. So faith towards God, our faith. Faith is something that God says back in Hebrews 11, or in forward in Hebrews 11. Faith is something, the evidence, the proof, the reality, the piece of paper that's real. This is real. Faith is the real thing, the proof of what can't be seen. I can't see this, but I know it's here because it's in the spiritual realm. My faith is such that I believe God is going to do a mighty work in God's people. I believe God's people are going to get saved to the point they're going to be the witnesses of God. They're going to be the anointed of God. We're going to stop playing messianic Judaism. We're going to stop trying to be separate. We're now God's anointed. We're separate unto God. Amen. Because Jesus said there's a second commandment that's as important as the first. And he said, we all know, every one of you here, love God with all your heart. Isn't that right? Yes, yes. Somebody praise God if you love God with all your heart. Okay. Okay, for those of you that didn't praise God, I want you to stay after. We'll have a special class. But he also said there's another commandment that's just as important. Well, you know, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Messianic, I'm Lutheran. I love Lutherans, I love Baptists. Why is there 5,000 separate different Baptist faiths and just the American Baptists? Why are there 45,000 divisions in the name of one, the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua? It's because we don't love one another. We love our doctrine more than we love God. So we need to have faith about God. We need to learn about the instructions of mikvah, baptism, whether baptized by the Holy Spirit or mikvah in the water again and again. I was at a Bible study yesterday, and we were talking about, I was talking to somebody next to me that he was 89 years old, and he was talking about Yom Teruah, and I said, well, we go to the river on Yom Teruah, and we do a baptism all over again and again. He goes, why? And I said, because that's what God commanded. And he was like, I'm 89 years old. I never heard of such thing. And I said, it's called a mikvah. But we baptize over and over because every time we're unclean, wash your hands. Back there's a little hand washing thing. It's called a mini mikvah. Clean hands, clean heart. Praise God. Laying on of hands. Do you know what the laying on of hands is? At Yom Kippur, we all touch the Torah scroll. We lay on hands of the Torah scroll. The Spirit of God, it rules and reigns in the physical understanding of Yeshua being the Torah, HaTorah. We lay on hands because when we pray, we're praying for God's healing. If somebody needs prayer and they've asked you to pray, you have something they don't have, and you pray for their healing. You pray for that anointing. So you lay hands on them. Such as I have, I give unto you. Praise God. And you all have something, and we should be laying on of hands. But this is elementary, and the resurrection of the dead. Praise God. How many realize that you were dead in Christ not too long ago, and the dead in Christ are rising right now? You know, the Catholic Church gave us our foundation of end time things. The Catholic Church gave us our foundation that someday all the graves are going to wake up, and that may be true. But I do know there's a spiritual realm of death, and the spiritual realm of death was all over you and me years ago, and somewhere along the line, God came down and he breathed into me life, and the dead, me dead, arose. And the power of God has been with me ever since, and I believe what I'm called to be. Do you? Do you? Do you? Okay, that's pretty good. All right. And then eternal judgment. What the heck is eternity? Do we really know? Eternal judgment means we, elementary, we are not called to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. You're being judged every day because God put the Holy Spirit in you. The Ruach says, somebody was talking the other day about a realm of death, you know. The dog collar, I think it was Pastor Matt, that within, when it gets within 15 feet or so, it makes a noise and he gets trained. If he goes 15 feet, it zaps him. Well, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. You know, that's why when we dance, we're walking along, praising God, Cherkazia, we go to the left, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. So we go to the right, and the Holy Spirit, no, don't go there. And so if we're disobedient, we go there and we're on a spiritual detour. But if we listen to the Holy Spirit, the judgment of the Holy Spirit, we're back in the right pathway, the turquoise of God. So, and this, say this with me, and this we will do if Yahweh permits. Does he? He does. And so if this is elementary, this is all that's taught in the Sunday meetings. This is all that's taught. And so what is God saying? Move on past this. Bring your new people into the Torah. Teach them the elementary teachings. And then mature them. Help them to move on. See that they've been called to be the witness of God. And God is bringing. I better hurry up. But look at Hebrews 5:12. In fact, though by now you should be teachers. The word teacher, don't look at a high school and a platform and a podium. Think about the fact that this word comes from bearing witness. By now you should be bearing witness. You should know the presence of God is with you. You should be the teachers. You should be sharing. You should be being my witness. Praise God. That's why in the fivefold ministry, the greatest is not the apostle, it's the teacher. Because all of us should be the teacher, and the power of all of us is going to change the world. Somebody's saying, wow, praise God, hallelujah. And but you still need someone to teach you the basic truths, the basic elementary of Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Somebody needs to teach you the truths of God's word, and you have become people who need milk instead of solid food. Somebody say, God, forgive us. I met with a bunch of pastors, and I prayed at a rally not too long ago, and I prayed that we need to begin to get the pastors on fire and see the pastors change from entertainment and jokes and good stories to really begin to preach the Word of God. Because if they're preaching the Word of God, they're going to start knowing the Word of God, and the Word of God is what sets you free, and the Word of God is what Messiah really is. He is the teaching and instruction of Yahweh. He is the HaTorah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So say this out loud. I want solid food. You can't handle it. Got a few rebellious spirits here, so anyway. For everyone who lives on milk is still a baby. Don't you think we should be weaned? And is inexperienced in the message of righteousness. Blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty for my righteousness. Praise God. And so solid food is for mature whose minds are trained. We need to train ourselves. The minds are trained by practice to distinguish. This is called discernment. The minds are trained to discern. Right now, the biggest problem in the church today and with believers is wisdom and discernment. Amen. We follow the rabbis, we follow the pastors, and we don't really seek God for ourselves. God has said, I will write this on your heart. Well, we say, well, write it on the rabbi's heart, and the rabbi will teach it. You know, and the fact is, God wants a people that hear his voice. Jesus said, my rabbi know my voice, and you know the rabbi's voice. That's in some scripture, 6:12. But the fact is, he didn't say that. Messiah said, my sheep, raise your hand, hear my voice, praise God. And so whatever I teach, don't accept. Pray about it. Ask God about it. Test it. And let God reword it into your heart, because you're his disciple, not Ben Leckham's. So praise God. We're called to distinguish. And so we think we're so mature. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We would not dare put ourselves in the same class with or compare ourselves to those who commend or recommend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they think they're awesome, and they show how foolish they are. Don't we go to a Bible study, and some guy's teaching a Bible study, and we sit there and go, I could do better than that. And after a couple of months, praise God, I can do so much better. I'll start my own. Split. You know, we're called to press together. We're called to forgive one another. We're called to glean. Yesterday I was at a Bible study of a bunch of Christians, and I learned a lot. You know, I want to be past the point where I can do better than that. I tried to listen and learn because God had me there to glean. He didn't have me there to teach them, you know, the Word of God, the Hebrew, the Torah, the Greek. Although we did get into some of those things, but I was there to learn and to glean. And everywhere I go, everywhere you go, you'll see Messiah. You'll see the Spirit of life. You'll see the Torah that's alive, including City Market. So praise God. Anyway, I'm running out of time. And the walk, halak, halaha, the walk of Torah, the ways of overcoming, taking offense. How many here get offended? Don't raise your hand. But we should never be offended. Nothing can offend us because we're not ours. We're God's. And if somebody wants to offend me, they're offending God. But I'm not offended. I just now realize that God put them in the realm of pray for my enemies. And so anyway, nothing should offend us. Learning to judge others. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another any longer, but rather judge this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in the brother's way. When people come to us, or people are not walking in the Torah that we want them to, when they're not mature enough, they're idiots, the way we think. We need to realize that God has a spiritual realm of being born again, and we're born again as babes, just like we don't expect Samuel, that little baby over there, to walk and talk. We expect Samuel to say, Mama, I want breast milk. Expect Samuel to say, Mama, change my diapers. You know, someday when he talks. And that's a form of a next step of maturity. But then someday, in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to go, Mama, I want to use a toilet. In a twinkling of an eye, he's just like his dad. Right, Dad? Use the toilet? Okay. In a twinkling of an eye, in that area. And stop thinking in a twinkling of an eye, you got saved, you're supposed to be like me. In a twinkling of an eye, I'm just like God in one area of my life. I've overcome breastfeeding. I've overcome potty training. I've overcome, hopefully, the elementary teachings of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so let's stop judging one another and realize they're on a different walk. They're immature or they're more mature. And when somebody is more mature, do we feel the same way about them as we do to somebody that's immature? Well, we should, because we're all his brothers in the kingdom of God. And I've got a passage here in the book of Revelation. Revelation is all about the seven churches, and it's to he who overcomes. And I've just gathered a few in chapter 2, verse 7. An overcomer gets to eat from the tree of life. Somebody say, wow, praise God, hallelujah. Okay, that's not exciting. Okay, we'll move to the next one. Somebody that's an overcomer gets hidden manna. Manna is the meat of God. And they get a new white stone. And on that white stone is a name, praise God, that Yahweh gave you, a name that no man knows. Praise God. That's exciting to me. Verse 26, if I'm an overcomer, I get power over the nations. Wow. That's what we're praying about right now. We've got a nation in which we're subject to, a nation in which we have a tyrant state government. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about the whole party behind him. The whole movement behind him is led by realms of death. To him that overcome, I shall give to sit with me on my throne. We get to sit with him on his throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I was telling somebody yesterday, the word ecclesia is a Greek word for gathering people. All pagans, Diana worshipers, all Satan worshipers, they met together in an ecclesia. And now they have Christians, and Christians meet together in ecclesia. Well, God never wanted us to be part of an ecclesia. He gave us the concept of the gathering of God's people called kahal. And I had several people say, how do you spell that? I mean, so it meant something. So praise God. I'm trying to hurry, and now today is Bereshit. So there's after. And I've only got one slide, so I'm not going to teach the whole half Torah. Isaiah 48, which is very similar to Isaiah 61. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness. He's called you. Look at somebody and tell him that. He called you in righteousness. And I will take hold of your hand and guard you, praise God. And I will give you a covenant, give for you a covenant to a people, for a light to the Gentiles. We're a light to the Goyim. We're not Gentiles. We're not Goyim. We're not lost and confused without God. We're grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. We've been born again into his kingdom, praise God. And you're a light to the Gentiles to open blind eyes. Do you realize that you were blind? And now you can see? And now God said, okay, what I did for you, you do for Bob and Jerry and Sally and Martha. And someday Bob, Sally, and Martha will be in the church. You know why? Because you share the light with them. Praise God. Say, praise God. And to bring out prisoners from prison, which is a heavy thing, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And I, Yahweh, that is my name. In my esteem, I do not give my esteem to others, nor my praise to the realms of death called idols. Somebody say, praise God, hallelujah. The Haftorah has got some powerful stuff. And so in the name of Messiah, look at somebody and say, Yahweh bless you today and keep you. Amen.